minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm Brady Hull, joined as always from the other side of the bulletproof glass, Angel. How you doing, man? You recovered from your Thanksgiving journey, your airport trip?
I believe so.
How was the airport? Was it good?
It's the airport. They're like remodeling over at DIA, and they've extended the C terminal, so it's like extra long now. And if your flight's all the way at the end, you got to walk like through the main stuff, and then all the it's like an empty hallway almost. It's
really?
Just a lot of people just sitting around on their phones.
Dude, I haven't been to the airport in a long time.
I've gone to the airport too many times in the last year.
Well, I mean,
a little over it.
It's, you don't want to just drive. What's the drive like? What would that drive be to Alabama? How many hours are we looking at?
16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it before.
Really?
But it was going through. I've come from Alabama to Colorado through Kansas and like the Midwest. When I moved out here, I came through Texas.
Oh,
so
right.
I went southern and then up into Arizona and then up.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a nice drive.
It's a nice drive. It's
interesting. I don't mind long road trips.
No, I don't either. I like driving, actually. I'm into it.
Flying is just, you got to deal with so many other people that apparently don't know how flights work.
Was travel crazy, though, when you left?
It
was
yes.
Supposed to be a big day for travel.
Yeah, I left on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. The line just to get to the airport was crazy. The security wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It took about maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then flying back was pretty lax. It was funny, like flying out of Birmingham, there were so many Alabama fans there. Like everyone's wearing their tied hats and their shirts and stuff. There was one Auburn fan. This is right after the Iron Bowl, so it's like, oh, okay, so if you win, you get to wear your gear on the flight.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's fun. It's all fun. It's all good.
Rivalries that CU and CSU should have.
Oh, yeah, I would love to build that stuff back up. I mean, well, that's kind of what we've been talking about throughout the course of this week is, well, with UNC and CSU for basketball. And then the women's team, like UNC, what did they go to? Two overtimes?
Three.
Three overtimes?
UNC scored a like program high in women's basketball points.
That's pretty good.
I don't want triple overtime on Saturday.
I kind of do.
That'd be too stressful.
I wouldn't mind
I'm
it,
sure
man.
The guys would like it, but yeah. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I just think it's something, it's good for the state, mixing in those fan bases and getting everybody excited about basketball in the area. I think it's a good deal. What's not a good deal is what's going on with the Denver Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson both were talking about... everything just kind of being gossip right now, and the locker room's not fractured and everything. Was the birthday party thing, and I'm not going to get that much into it today, do you think it's much to do about nothing? I mean, I was thinking about it a lot after the show. And, dude, like half the team went on an off day. It's actually pretty good.
I think it's like we keep finding a storyline for each week as we've chronicled this season with the Broncos. And so this week it's, Russell's birthday party.
Right.
What are you going to do?
There's always, I'm telling you, man, every single week there's something goofy. There's something weird to talk about.
The next home game, they should all sing happy birthday to Russell.
Yes, I think they should
the
sing it in Baltimore.
Crowd.
I think they sing it at Baltimore. This game is weird to me, dude. I just, you've got the drama going on with Lamar Jackson and his tweets. Remember, they have the kicker, Justin Tucker, who was making fun of Russell Wilson on the airplane. Is this a game where it kind of feels like nobody expects the Broncos to win? The quote-unquote easy part of their schedule is behind them now. All the hard games, most of the teams they're playing are in the playoff picture or at least looking at the playoff picture. Is this one of those weird games for the Baltimore Ravens going up against a team that really has nothing to lose now?
I think it's definitely a trap game for Baltimore. You look at the Broncos on your schedule, that should be a win, but... Baltimore has proven they can't really hold on to a lead in the second half. Can they keep that going, try to, stay in position to win their division against the Bengals? But for the Broncos, it's, you get to play spoiler the rest of the season. So, yeah, your team's not going anywhere, but you can mess up a lot of things for a bunch of other guys in the AFC.
You really can. And, listen, we're gonna have Hugh Millen on the program. Hugh, of course, played in the NFL. He covers the Seattle Seahawks. and he is Clay Millen's dad. So
really?
We have a good connection there.
Funny that.
That's how I got his information, actually. Clay hooked me up.
You didn't just put your name out there?
Mm-mm.
I didn't talk to that Brady fella.
No, I didn't do that, but he would have caught on. He would have caught on. Apparently, he was on a mission, though. He has kind of been roasting Russell Wilson. He kind of did with us at the beginning of the season. We brought him on before the Seattle game, and you know, he talked about a lot of the issues going on in Seattle and how he saw the fractures there going on for a while. And I'm just from that conversation, I'm guessing he's not surprised. However, I did ask him, I was like, do you think all that stuff's going to happen in Denver? And that was the first week, right? And he said, I don't think so. It's going to take a while for that to happen. And yet, here we are. A 3-win team going nowhere. And it happened quickly here. So all those things you heard about in Seattle are happening to Denver, but they're not winning. You know, we're not talking about this stuff if they're winning games. We're not talking about high knees as much and sandwiches and birthday parties. We're not getting into that as much. We might, but it's light. But now all those things that we talk about kind of have a serious undertone to them.
Well, we'd rather, you know, be breaking down the games, breaking down the matchups, you know, talking about decisions. Oh, what about when they did this in the third quarter? That was a great thing that they did. And now it's just, oh, what are they doing off the field? So, because the product on the field is just, it's hard to watch.
It is. It's beyond bad. You know, it makes you mad when you watch this team. And I tweeted last night, just decided to throw a little spark in the air. And I just, again, I think we do these shows every single day. And I have opinions and thoughts on whatever the news is of the day, the teams that we follow. And then sometimes I go away thinking, I don't necessarily change my opinion. I just harden in another opinion. And I've been going back and forth with Hackett or Russ. I have interviewed Nathaniel Hackett. It is hard not to like the guy. I have not changed my stance on that. I want desperately for him to work out. With Vic Fangio, you want him to work out because you want the team to do well, but you're not necessarily rooting for Vic Fangio. I am rooting for Nathaniel Hackett. But I'm telling you, man, all of these things that I'm seeing, I feel like it all comes down to coaching. This is not giving Russell Wilson a pass. It's not what I'm doing here. But I think that Nathaniel Hackett is the problem. But I got to tell you, I'm getting the sense that this organization might give Hackett a pass. They might give him another year.
Can you see a division happening between Broncos fans where it's, no, Hackett is the guy that's the issue, or no, it's Russ is the issue, but we're stuck with Russ, so let's just get rid of Hackett?
I can definitely see that. I think that's building right now. Because again, it's two bads. You know, it's not like Tim Tebow and Kyle Orton. There was a division there, but it was okay. We haven't really seen Tim Tebow. We really like him as a person, and we're excited to see what, you know, he's a hell of a football player, not a quarterback, but a player. And there was a division there, and then you ultimately ended up coming out successful on one side of that. Tim Tebow worked out for that year. This is two evils here. It's the lesser of two evils because both are bad. Russ has been bad. And I do think that, and maybe it's unfair, but to draw the line, I do think that that is a talking point. Whether it's this show or any show you're listening to, you are going to discuss Nathaniel Hackett. And you are going to discuss Russell Wilson. And with all the media stuff that came out yesterday on Pissarro, what are those guys' names? Pelissaro and Garofalo.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were talking and basically just going at Russell Wilson, saying that the players have been rolling their eyes. Now, again, according to guys in the know, that's not 100% true, that players aren't really at least outspoken and talking negatively about Russ. It does seem like this locker room is not as divided as the national media is leading everybody to believe. And again, I actually think the birthday party thing, I know we made fun of it yesterday, and you hear half the team, and at first your brain goes to half the team. Well, why didn't they all show up? On an off day, 30, 40 people showed up to a party at Russell Wilson's house. I actually turn around, I'm like, that's not necessarily broken to me. I mean, did you really expect 100% to show up?
No, and I think that's partially the media taking a story like that and turning it into a headline, turning it into national news because they're talking about it on ESPN the last 2 days. But when you talk about the locker room and the division there, yeah, the players are not going to say that, yeah, oh, we're against each other, nobody talks in the locker room, whatever. But when you see it play out on the field like we saw on Sunday with the defensive player getting in Russ's face, it's hard to say –
that
do they like
nothing.
Each other?
It's hard to just ignore it and just say that it's nothing. And so I get that. It's like we said, this is going to be, it's not really about the party itself. It's about everything that it might mean. But I don't know if that, again, half the team, I don't know. Issa Chris, does Isaiah Stewart have Wolverine blood? Isaiah Stevens, perhaps? Or is there an IRC?
It sounds like it because he showed up out of nowhere.
Dude, he showed up out of freaking nowhere. I didn't see this coming. And I have a,
your best friends.
Well, not yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Your best friends to you.
Yes, I believe that
Isaiah is
my best friend. Yeah, sure. I had no idea. I didn't see this coming at all. And he just pops right out there, 7 quick points. He was leading the team in scoring in the first half. And then, he's on a minute restriction. He ended up with a really good game. And the Rams get out of there with a dub. Eastside Chris, Brady, for your birthday party, I'm sure a couple of hooligans attend. But at the Den, everyone will show up. Well, they're already there. I mean,
where else would you host a birthday party?
Right. And again, that's a guarantee for me to make sure people show up to the birthday party. Just do it at the Den. If it's going to be a hooligan birthday party, just do it there. We already know they're already there. I mean, Eastside Chris has probably been there since 7:30 this morning or whenever they open.
There right now.
Probably there right now. I would imagine Noob's probably there. Dixon's there. I mean, the hooligans are, that's a hangout. That's the hot spot where they're hanging out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me is CSU getting a monster win last night. They beat Loyola Marymount Lions 87-71. So there was really no doubt, and you didn't even need Isaiah in that second half. And then a portion of the good is Isaiah Stevens returning. Does the narrative change for CSU? CSU is quietly putting together a nice non-conference schedule. They are 5-0 at home. They're 6-2 overall, and they just got their best player back. So Colorado State, we said, oh, the only way they're going to get in is if they win the Mountain West Conference tournament and all that. They're not going to look at an at-large bid. And right now, the resume doesn't show that they're going to, an at-large bid. But you go win 23 games or so and show out in your tournament? Yeah, I think an at-large possibility is there. A lot to still learn about this team, though. I'm not going there yet as far as thinking this is an at-large team. But 6-2 to start, I think that even the diehard Rams fans would say that's a pleasant surprise. The bad for me is the fact that you have Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson addressing locker room gossip. Whether you want to go all in on the birthday party or any of this stuff, here's the fact. You're a bad team. Bad teams go through this stuff. This is what we talk about when you're bad. Because we can't talk about X's and O's. We can't talk about how things worked. Because this team goes 3-out, 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 and they punt all the time. So, yes, this is, you can say what you want. Maybe Russ hasn't lost the locker room, and maybe Hackett is really well-liked within that locker room. But at the end of the day, bad teams get bad press. And that's what's going on with the Denver Broncos. The ugly, anyone shocked by this? Police in Tampa issued an arrest warrant Thursday for former NFL wide receiver Antonio Brown. The active warrant states that Brown is wanted on a battery charge stemming from an incident on November 28th. And then on November 29th, a judge denied a petition for a temporary risk protection order to prevent him from possessing firearms or ammunition if he was considered a threat to himself or others. Antonio Brown needs to, we just need to go away. This guy is ridiculous. He is a loose cannon, and it's just a shame because, man, what a football player. He was a great football player. He just, whether it's severe mental stuff or whatever, he just flat out lost it. And it's no surprise when you see stories like this. All right, my Method Flow Products poll question of the day. What has been the worst move so far for George Payton as the general manager? I mean, again, talk about narrative changing. I was all in on this guy for a moment, but he's made some pretty rough moves lately. And I got to ask, which one's the worst? Is it hiring Nathaniel Hackett? Hiring Nathaniel Hackett based on one good year, was it with Jacksonville, as the offensive coordinator? This man was fired. You know, he moves on from Buffalo, he's fired from Jacksonville, and then he's with Green Bay, but not calling the plays. So why did you bring him in, and now he's not calling the plays? So is that the worst move? Is it trading for Russell Wilson? Is it signing him to the extension? Or is it, and I love Patrick Surtain, I do, but it should be said, you could have drafted Justin Fields. You could have had perhaps your future franchise quarterback that didn't just turn 34, that has his whole career and life out in front of him, and is actually, this season, I know the Bears aren't that good, but he's played some good football. So I threw that in there. Because if that move is made, we're not talking about the rest of these moves, probably. Maybe Hackett, I don't know. But
do you think Fangio could have figured it out with Field?
Probably not.
Do you think he would have leeway with him? Hey, he's a rookie. He's going to give him time. Focus on making your defense good. We'll pick up offensive pieces along the way.
If what George Payton said was true about Vic Fangio, when George Payton was hired, he said Vic was one of the reasons he liked this job. That was one of the reasons. But it was 3 years for Vic, so it was too many years of bad where you couldn't really put up with him for another year. But maybe if you have a rookie quarterback, because you had Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, both guys, it was clear the Broncos had no plans of keeping around and growing with. So if you would have went with Justin Fields, you would have moved on from Drew Lock. Teddy Bridgewater would have probably been your starter. You still might have gone that route. He probably would have been benched halfway through the season, and then Justin Fields takes over, and then you at least look at that and say, okay, Vic, you got one more year because you got a young quarterback. Let's get a good offensive coordinator with him to groom. But it was Vic's hiring of Pat Shurmur and all that stuff that didn't work. So I don't know, but maybe that move doesn't lead to the other bad moves.
No, and it would give you plenty of cap space in that following year to say, hey, let's go get him some weapons, get him an offensive line.
You're absolutely right.
And you look at this past season as, well, we have potential with Justin Fields.
They would have had a first-round pick, too, because they wouldn't have traded to Russell Wilson, so you would have used that as a tool, whether that's on the offensive line or, you know, another stat player or another defensive guy. Probably offensive line, though. So that's why I threw it in there, because all the other moves might not... Two of the moves wouldn't have happened if you would have drafted Justin Fields. Now, this is not a knock. One of our texters or comments on Facebook already said Patrick Surtain is one of the best quarterbacks or cornerbacks in the league. I agree. Does a cornerback win football games, though?
Nope.
They can change a trajectory. I mean, Champ Bailey had a huge moment I'll never forget against the Patriots years ago. He picked off Tom Brady, ran it back for 99 yards. Yeah, that changed the game. That likely won the game. But that's not happening on a weekly basis. The quarterback has the football in his hands all the time. There are 5 to 10 defensive players in the NFL that maybe can change the trajectory of a game. Von Miller did that in the playoffs leading to the Super Bowl. But your quarterback... Odds are he's going to change the trajectory of a game every game.
And with a cornerback like Patrick, as good as he is, he doesn't get a lot of targets because he is so good. It's hard to have a game-changing interception or a fumble on a tackle. But he makes plays elsewhere, but he's not getting the primary plays for a defensive back.
So he's not changing the game, and that's the thing. Like, would I go back on that move today? Boy. Like I said, I wanted...
What's the drop-off from cornerback 1 to 2?
For overall in the NFL?
Or for the Broncos?
For the Broncos. Well, they had Darby, right, who gets hurt. So it wasn't a huge drop-off, but it's a significant drop-off now.
So you get maybe a second or third round corner. You take Justin Fields as your quarterback.
Yeah. So thinking about it now, with everything that's gone wrong, and I'm still kind of in this Russ camp... But would I much rather have... How old's Justin Fields? What is he, 23, 24, 25? I don't know. Would I rather have a 23-year-old quarterback that seems to have the right stuff, and that's your guy going forward, plus you have all your draft picks, Or would I rather this situation, but you have a really good cornerback? I think I'm going back, man. My list was Micah Parsons, Patrick Surtain, and Justin Fields. That was my list that year. And I want to say, Micah Parsons, was he gone? He might not have been. I think all three of those guys were there at 9 for Denver. I know it was huge because Justin Fields was on the lineup or was there available for Denver. I can't remember if Micah Parsons was or not. But I signed off on it. I love the move. Was he there? So all three were there?
Yep, all three of them were there.
So I wanted one of those guys. That was where I wanted to go. But looking back, again, I'm not the GM. It was hard to not want to take a quarterback. And I even wrote about it. I said, hey, will this come back to bite him in the butt? Just like it bit John Elway for not drafting Josh Allen, instead drafting Bradley Chubb. And again, Patrick Surtain is a much better defensive player than Bradley Chubb. But it's still like the results are still the same. They're still the same. And you probably should have gone a quarterback.
Yeah, so it would have been Fields and Mac Jones were still available at that point.
And I was, Mac wasn't on my radar specifically. Justin what? I like guys that can move around too. I just like watching running quarterback. It's fun. It's more entertaining.
Yeah.
No?
No.
No, Lamar doesn't do it for
I'm
you.
Long term, I don't like it.
Mm.
Because you're taking hits. You see it with Josh Allen. He takes a lot of hits. He's their entire offense for Buffalo. With Justin Fields, yeah, it's so exciting. He makes a big play. It's okay, but now he's hurt.
Yeah. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll get more on that discussion. Colorado State basketball, how good are they going to be? They got a huge test coming up on Saturday against the University of Northern Colorado. I'm going to that game, and apparently I'm doing color commentary with Jerry Schimmel. I will be on the air,
blue,
doing color for the first time in like 10 years. Last time I did it was with Clark doing a football game. So we'll see how basketball goes. All right, let's take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'll get to your text on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Got our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week from Four Noses Brewery in Broomfield. Michelada 4-packs. Pick up selections from Four Noses Brewing. Or, of course, any of your favorites at On the Rocks Liquor. They have so many to choose from. And I personally, I like the craft beer stuff, dude. When I go to a liquor store, I buy something unique. And that's what I love about On the Rocks is they always have a great selection of unique craft beers from, Greeley, from Fort Collins, from in the state. But they also bring in some unique items from out of the state, too. So to me, it's the best of all worlds at On the Rocks Liquor. So do me a favor, make your next celebration On the Rocks. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. They got a drive-through as well. 11:33 the time. I want to get something out here on gel real quickly. I'm getting a lot of messages and emails asking me if Marty English is going to be the next head football coach for the UNC Bears. And what I'm hearing is no. That's what I'm hearing is not being interviewed or anything like that. I don't know if he's interested or the Bears are interested, but from what I'm hearing at this stage, he is not in consideration. So just wanted to get that out there. Kevin Lytle joining me coming up next. A lot to talk about with this Colorado State team. Tanner Arkin, the local kid, the tight end from Fossil, has entered the transfer portal. So a guy that I was really hopeful thought might be a big piece to the Rams going forward is moving on from Colorado State. We'll talk to Kevin about what that means. And Isaiah Stevens, big surprise, coming back, getting into the lineup last night and played pretty well. We'll talk to Kevin next. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
See? Nico Carvacho said, good friend. we're moving the needle with Isaiah Stevens. I'm pretty sure we'll move that into best friend territory. Speaking of best friend territory, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining me are CSU Rams insider. Kevin, right? Best friend territory. I think that's safe
to say. Did we just become best friends?
I think so. I've been nothing but super supportive of you. Tanner goes at you for the soccer thing. I think it's awesome. You be you. So, yeah, I'm very supportive. Good guy to you.
Yeah, I mean, Tanner is a hater, so.
He is a hater, man. But you know what he was doing the other day? You know, I'm
watching
just going to say,
soccer.
Watching soccer. And he did, yeah. Angel, is it safe to say he threw a couple of dollars at that game?
Yeah, he did throw a couple of dollars on it.
Did.
He's picking up the terminology and the strategies a little bit.
He's like actually into it and giving Kevin crap about it a week ago. And I go out every time I see Tanner. He's got soccer on the tube now. So there you go, Kevin.
I'm expecting, you know, next week I'm going to roll into the studio there, and he's going to be in his Pulisic kit.
I actually think he will. That's Tanner for you. He goes from I hate it to I'm all in. He's going to be dressing up, wearing soccer gear and all that, man. So it'll be interesting to see how you two interact. But Kevin, a couple of crazy things have happened with Colorado State the last few days. Isaiah Stevens, is he, I'm just going to use it from a texter, does he have Wolverine blood like Russell Wilson or what?
Well, hopefully not, Russell Wilson. too soon, too harsh.
Too harsh, yes.
Incredible,
but it's
guy Isaiah Stevens played. I kept hearing that he was, you know, rehab was going really well, and he was ahead of schedule, but not that far. And this is a month plus ahead of, you know, kind of what everyone expected. It's not, you know, I think some people might wonder if they kind of misled. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they fully expected Isaiah to be out, you know, until past Christmas. And he just, I guess what's not surprising is he was always going to do everything possible to be ready. Nutrition, sleep, rehab, you know, whatever he was told would be good by doctors to help him be ready. You know that guy was going to do it. And he sure did. And if you watched last night's game and didn't, you know, had no previous history of what happened earlier this year, you'd have no idea the guy was coming off a significant injury.
Yeah, last night I'm like, what, this guy was hurt? I mean, he busted out the gates. That's just insane. I mean, I was thinking, even when you and I talked, I wanted to be careful because I kept thinking January, but I didn't want to jinx January. And then suddenly, boom, he's playing last day of November.
Yeah, I mean, there were, you know, kind of privately, I don't want to say concerns, but just, you know, reality is feet can be really tricky. And so, you know, there's always a concern that when he would kind of ramp up the rehab that there'd be a setback, and you never know what can happen. And how many times have you heard about athletes with foot problems and they kind of, you know, keep lingering? So you never just knew for sure, and that's why a timeline was so vague. You know, it's, you know, some injuries you can pretty easily say, well, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be good. But you know, a foot like that, you just can't say that. But yeah, he did everything, and he looked like himself. I asked him after. I said, I mean, do you feel, you know, normal? He said, yeah. He goes, other than feeling out of shape and, you know, the altitude getting me, that, you know, that's the only thing that feels different. He goes, otherwise, it just felt like a normal game. And like I say, it looked like it, you know, pretty fitting that the first possession for CSU, Isaiah Stevens hits a mid-range jumper. I mean, when they, you know, when they put a poster of him on the wall at CSU, once he's gone, it's going to be of him shooting that mid-range J.
Oh, I love it, man. I was so happy to hear that news. Again, shocked. I didn't see it coming at all, which is no surprise. I don't see a lot of things coming. It happens. But they run away with this one last night. They beat LMU. They're sitting at 6-2, undefeated at Moby. I love that. Moby madness seems to be alive and well, Kevin. But with Isaiah's quick return here, what are we talking about now? I mean, I'm not really at that at-large conversation just yet, but don't you think they're way ahead of schedule here? 6-2 to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is they didn't suffer bad losses while he was out, and that's always the worry. You know, Wyoming, for instance, obviously they have, you know, horrible injury issues, and they have suffered some bad losses. CSU didn't. They do have two defeats, but neither of them are bad as far as a NCAA tournament resume is concerned. The metrics won't be bad on those, and the committee, you know, CSU's on the bubble, we'll look at those games and say, well, you were playing without your best players, so we'll give you a little bit of a benefit of the doubt there. On the other side, CSU has no real resume win.
Yeah.
You know, last night is a decent one, but it's, you know, it's not a, you know, it's a solid win. It's sort of a middle of your resume, not a top of your resume piece. So they still need to get those. But yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about that the good news, if you would, with Isaiah being out, is you built some depth. You know, Tavy Jackson got a lot of minutes that he wouldn't have gotten if Isaiah was playing. And, you know, I think that's going to pay off. So yeah, I think if you're a CSU fan, yeah, I'm not riding this team into the tournament yet, but I'm also not counting it out. I think it is a possibility. And, you know, these next 3 weeks before Christmas or for whatever it is, I don't know what day it is, we're going to learn a lot because they do have big opportunities.
And some good players. I mean, you're right. Tavy Jackson, I'm liking him. Nice young player. John Tonjay with that steal and the monster dunk last night to pretty much end that game. I loved that. Isaiah Rivera has been really good. Guys, you know, newcomers, Cartier, he's been sensational. So I'm excited about this team. Really excited about Saturday. Kevin, get this. I'm going to be sitting next to our own Jerry Schimmel. I'm going to be doing color commentary for this game, so I'll give you a shout-out a few times.
That's fantastic. No, that'll be a lot of fun. Should be an entertaining game. I mean, UNC, obviously kind of erratic, and it doesn't seem like the Bears defend it very well. But, you know, obviously UNC gave CSU one heck of a run last year. They'll be amped up for that one. CSU, obviously, amped up with Isaiah back. I think that should be a very entertaining basketball game.
Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining me. Excited about that game. I'm seeing more names on the football side enter the transfer portal. I was kind of stunned by Tanner Arkin, the local guy. He didn't have a great year with CSU by any stretch, but I was kind of hopeful that maybe next year he works in the offense more, but still seeing players enter this transfer portal.
Yeah, and there will be more, you know, especially a lot of the guys that, you know, didn't really have a role this year. They're going to be going. I think we'll probably see, you know, a couple of those O-lineman guys that, you know, couldn't get on the field even with the injuries. I think that's obviously kind of a good sign that you're not really part of the plans moving forward. And just the nature of college athletics, we're going to see some transfers. So yeah, there's going to be some coming, already some out, like you say. That's just par for the course. I mean, there's never going to be an off season again where your roster basically stays stable.
Yeah, well, I think you've said it all along, is this is to be expected now in this new college football that we see, is you're going to see a lot of names for the first 2 years of a coach. I mean, that's just going to be that situation. But Kevin, for a three-win football team for CSU, did they get four or three wins?
Three
wins. The optimism is still pretty freaking high about Jay Norvell and company.
Yeah, I think so. I was talking to some folks after the game, and basically everyone said and felt that this is the most happy, optimistic fan base after a 3-9 ever. And it speaks to a lot of things. I mean, obviously the nice finish with the shutout of New Mexico, you know, some of the signs, you know, Torrey Horton's big year, Clay Millen, you know, growing as the season went on, and probably most importantly, the defense. And part of it is, you know, Jay Norvell, like we talked about, he bought himself some extra time by engaging with the fan base and, you know, being generally likable. Whether you think that should matter or not, it does. And you know, I think that's playing a role too. But, yeah, I think people are pretty optimistic. And, again, some of that goes back to his history. He had a bad year one at Nevada, and then years 2 through 5 were anywhere from good to very good. So I think people kind of expect that here.
Okay, a couple of names coming to mind as far as questions as to whether they're coming back or not. Torrey Horton's obviously the big one. Guy like Chiggy, wondering if he'll come back with that defense. What are you hearing about both? I mean, Torrey Horton's so young, the idea of him just jumping in the NFL draft seems crazy, but he's that good of a player. Is he coming back? What do you know at this point? Chiggy, too, because I think he was such a big piece to that defense.
Yeah, Torrey Horton, I fully expect to be back. He's a guy that will be in the NFL, but I think probably one more year is probably best for him. And he's talked frequently, you know, in we terms, as far as we, the guys coming back. So it seems like he's planning to. Chiggy's a big question. Hard to say right now. I mean, Norvell straight up said he wants him back. To be determined, I think, there. Mo Kamara is another one that, you know, if you can get Mo and Chiggy back, that defense is looking really good. Both would be coming back basically on their extra COVID year. So, you know, there are a lot of factors that play into that. You know, what are they doing school-wise? You know, what program, or is there a program they want to continue in? You know, do either look to transfer and play elsewhere? Or do they just want to try the NFL waters? There's, you know, various branches that these guys, you know, have earned the right to take the time to figure out what's best for them as well. So, you know, I think we'll get an answer in December here, but, you know, probably not today or tomorrow.
Kevin Lytle, got about a minute here left, and I know we'll dive into this more with Rams Weekly coming up at 5 tonight. But there's Colorado State announced there's this thing called the Stalwart Journey. They're an NIL opportunity thing. You put together a great piece about this. I just started breaking into it this morning. Can you kind of break it down for us, you know, what, in a minute, and we'll dive into it later?
Yeah, let me break down the most complicated big change in college sports, you know, in the last 100 years. Yeah. But yeah, the layman's version is a new NIL collective has been created. A collective is basically a place where people can donate to, you know, basically pay players for various things. It can be as simple as, you know, autograph session or connect them to your business, you know, kind of like you guys have done. Have a, you know, an athlete that's interested in broadcasting come in and work with KFK. All sorts of things. You can choose to donate, you know, broadly or to a specific team. Basically, it's just the new wave of, you know, college athletics, and players can profit off their NIL name, image, likeness. And it's a big step. You know, all the power schools have these collectives and sort of a structure to create it. The Group of Fives, you know, as you would expect, are a little behind because they had to, you know, tread the waters a bit. But this is a big step for CSU, and I think it's going to be crucial moving forward. A lot of it, I think, will be key in, you know, retention of some of these athletes.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to pick your brain a little bit more about this tonight on Rams Weekly. We'll break into more CSU basketball, what the future outlook looks like for the football team as well. Kevin, my man, love what you do. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Hello, this NIL deal is kind of interesting, huh? You know, it's a cool deal. It's exciting. Joe Parker said it's a game changer for student athletes. We'll talk about that more and what that means a little bit later on the show. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Short break coming up. When we come back, the Denver Nuggets, the quest for a title for their first ever. Man, it's looking really good so far. We'll talk about that next.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Great program to start off with. Kevin Lytle bringing some fire, talking to us about Colorado State, transfer portal stuff, all of that. If you miss any portions or any of our interviews, you can always check out thewholeshow.com and 1310kfk.com to find our podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Amazon, all that stuff. We're on those outlets, so you can find The Whole Show anywhere you go. All right, second hour, we'll get to the lunch rush. I will talk about the Nuggets. Is there a new smartest player on this roster? We'll talk about it next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.